This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. The show is your connection to local music and more. On the show today, a group that calls itself the Barocan Consort, chamber music ensemble of eight musicians plus a few on their concert coming up this Friday evening in Bloomington. They are with us performing live, at least five of their members are, today. In our studio, they play a mix of Baroque and other earlier music and some contemporary original works as well. It's the Barocan Consort on Live and Local today on FM 90.9. This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly, and you caught me right at the end, just verifying names of all of our guests here today on the show. We have five of them. You just heard a movement from a Divertimento by Mozart, played by the ensemble Zefiro, which plays on period instruments of Mozart's time. And I tell you, we've got some very interesting-looking instruments sitting right in front of me from a group that calls itself Barocan Consort, and that is a pun which we will explain. They're giving a concert in Bloomington this, Friday
night
at 7:30. And the members who are with us here, Beasley LaFue, who was my contact for this project, Mike McNeil, Sue Ann Guess Hansen, Julie Prandi, am I saying it right? And Chris Callahan. And they each have more than one instrument surrounding them here. Looks like everybody plays some kind of recorder, although it looks, I have to tell you, like you're playing a plastic sewer flute. I mean, that's like a PDQ Bach instrument or something like that.
Yeah, this is...
This is Beasley LaFue here.
I'm sorry. This is a tenor crumb horn, Kevin, and it's Chris has one of wood. But too bad your radio audience can't see it, because it does look like a plumbing fixture you might have taken out from under your kitchen cabinet.
Well, yours does anyway.
Yeah.
So is yours indeed of plastic?
Mine's plastic.
Yeah,
yes.
Yours. It's a white
Chris's
plastic.
Is wood. Yeah.
We have two wood ones. You know, I've never seen a crumb horn before.
Oh.
And we have a very small wooden one here.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. A TV would be very handy in this instance.
Crumhorn is what they call a capped reed. There's a reed like an oboe reed or something like
Looks
that.
Looks like and a bassoon reed, actually.
Yes, and there's a cap reed on it. These crumhorns, the history is sort of lost in antiquity, but it's believed that they derived from a bagpipe chant. And they were very big in the 1500s, et cetera, and they go back probably a little bit farther than that.
Yeah. Any idea of the name, reason for the name?
Well, it's German for crooked, as I understand, and the crumhorn has a curve at the bottom, and a German name for crumhorn is crook. Julie, you're the German professor, so you can tell me if that's correct or not.
That's right. Crumb means bent.
Okay, there we go. That's a good explanation.
A wonderful joke about crumb horns. You know what a gentleman is? A gentleman is a person that knows how to play a crumb horn but doesn't.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, in that
That's
case...
That's Beasley's joke.
Which one of you gets the nod to give us a demonstration of it? Now we've talked about it. We ought to hear it.
Want just a demo? We'll play the low
Yeah,
one.
let's have a demo here.
First, and then the next up... Let's play.
Should prepare your audience, though.
Yeah.
They sound kind of rude, so...
Yeah.
But this is the way they're supposed to sound.
Yeah, no kidding.
And they squeak, too.
Well, I can understand the origin from bagpipes, actually.
Some of us will be playing those in a piece we play today, so mixed with recorders.
Okay. I know on my former show, when I was hosting the morning program, I would occasionally play some early music groups that... it was a favorite recording of mine, and I'm now forgetting what the name of the group was. The Philip Pickett's Consort, the New London Consort,
yes.
Oh, yeah.
And of Susato dances and so on, and they had quite a variety of all kinds of instruments with
Cornettos,
wonderful names.
Yeah,
sackbut is always a good one, although those are that's a very different kind of thing.
Yeah.
The group that you have assembled here has been around for quite a while. I really had no idea. Was it 20-some years?
Yeah. Three of us that are here were in the original group, and then two, and people kind of come and go. For the concert this Friday night, there will be 12 of us. Sue Ann contacted some past members, players, and so all 12 of us are going to be there. But Sue Ann Beasley and I were in the first group 20 years ago, and we've remained constant throughout.
And this is Mike McNeil speaking
yes,
here.
Yes.
Chris, how long have you been then?
I was part of the group in the early 90s, and then had to drop out and came back this summer. And I will play through the concert and when I can during the rest of the year.
And Julie?
I first joined about 5 years ago, and so enthusiastic supporter ever since.
So you're the baby of the group,
right? Yes,
so to speak.
In more ways than one.
What gave you the idea to do this? I mean, those of you who've been in it since its duration.
Well, this is Beasley. I had just moved to Bloomington in 1985, and two or three years later, I'd been playing the recorder for quite some time, for a few years, and I was looking for some company. And so I asked around at our church, the Unitarian Universalist Church, for recorder players, and Sue Ann was able to say, yeah, I'll play with you. And then we had another couple who played with us for a while. And then we asked Mike if he would join us. And that's sort of the genesis of it. Mike had played for many years in Missouri, wasn't it, Mike?
Yes. There's a national organization called the American Recorder Society, ARS. And they publish a wonderful little book. In fact, we've met people through the book. It's Recorder Players by Zip Code. And I used to travel a lot before I retired. And I would look in there, find somebody's name, and call them up, and they'd say, yeah, we're playing on Wednesday night, and you just showed up on Wednesday night and played with either one, two, three, or a whole group. So they're all across the country, and that's, in a way, kind of how we found each other, and we have found other people that way also.
I assume there still is at least one recorder group in Champaign-Urbana.
Yes, we know some of those people.
And several years ago, the one of the groups I conduct called the Prairie Ensemble did a production of Benjamin Britten's Noah's Flood, which requires a recorder choir, and
yes.
I remember calling around, and the answer I got from pretty much everybody was, well, we don't usually play in public, and they were very nervous about that.
I've played in that twice in St. Louis. And next time you put it on, call us up. We'll come over.
Well, they did play, and they did a marvelous job.
It's a wonderful production, and it's just one of my favorite operas. It's Britten at his very best, I think, so.
Although a very different kind of
very
opera.
Very different kind of
opera. It's a children's
yes.
opera, and you get yeah. all kinds of ensembles involved there. It's a wonderful community.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Bringer-together-er
yeah.
kind of
yeah.
thing. So what got you guys out of the closet that decided you wanted to play for people?
Well, we talked a little about that on the way over. Performance anxiety is a horrible thing. And this is the first time we've ever played on the radio, and I'm not making excuses. I think we'll do well. But way back when, it always, was church connected. And then when our group formed, we started doing weddings, and I've even done a bar mitzvah. So the old joke about weddings, bar mitzvahs, and funerals, I have played a funeral. I take that back. So a lot of church connected stuff, but when we play for weddings, we charge, and with that money, we've bought a whole consort of recorders and this giant bass that you see laying here, and music and stands and a lot of things that individually we probably wouldn't buy, but collectively. So that was, I guess money was a motivator for a bit, but
that was a start, yeah. Yeah. And we played at farmers markets outside at those types of venues. We've also done some playing at special concerts at Old Illinois Wesleyan has been one of them. And have we played at Bone? I don't know. We played at the first night
yeah.
some receptions
yes.
and things
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we just sort of branched out from weddings and bar mitzvahs to whoever would have us play,
yeah.
I think is what it amounts to.
And we do have a harpsichord, a guitar, a harp, a bassoon, not here today,
cello,
and a viola da gamba.
All so those will be participating in your concert on Friday.
Everything but the viola da gamba will be participating Friday.
This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. We're talking with five members of a group called Barokan Consort. In our next break, after you're gonna play us some music, we have to explain that term. It's a pun, but you know, I still am not sure I know what a broken consort is really. But you brought your instruments, a whole bunch of them, and we might as well try to get to as many of them as possible. So what did you bring for us first to hear?
A Carat by Pretorius. That's one of our favorites. We've been playing this for probably 10, 11 years. It's just a really nice piece that's very representative of a sound that we like.
And Carat is a dance form.
Yes, it's a dance. This is from a whole book of dances by Pretorius.
Okay.
In case you were worried, that's the last piece we'll play on crumb horns today.
Who teaches anybody how to play a crumb horn? I mean, how do you learn how to play one of those things?
Well, each year in Whitewater, Wisconsin, there's a local group there that, well, not a local group, a group from the Oakbrook Recorder School has a weekend where recorder players, crumb horn players, all these period instrument players can come together and learn. They have music faculty that comes and teaches. So that's one area where if you're interested in crumb horns, that would be a good place to get some professional guidance and instruction in.
And then we're very lucky in Bloomington. There's a young woman who moved there about 2 years ago, who has an advanced degree from the University of Indiana, Lisette Kuhlson. And she does workshops, and she has coached our group. It's just remarkable for someone of that talent level to be in Bloomington. So we're very lucky to have her. And then there are these marvelous method books. Remember the Von Trapp family singers?
Not personally, but
well,
yeah.
Okay. Well, they have method books, and they're just, I taught myself to play recorder using their method book. And recorders are, I always tell people, they're easy to play, but they're difficult to play well. So, easy to learn to play.
Once you have the recorder fingering, the crumb horn is the same.
Same.
It is.
So,
the tessitura is reduced, so it's even simpler.
Yeah.
But you have to pay much more attention to pitch.
Oh, it's so killer.
Well, yeah, it sounds like it's very difficult to fight pitch on those things. And that's probably what you spend a lot of time doing, is fighting the pitch.
Yes. Yeah. And they're cumbersome. They're big, or this one's big. So, yeah.
Well, you know, well, I mean, what do you even put those in? Just stick them in a backpack or what? You
could. No, there's a case for it. Yeah, there's a case.
Special sort of
special
thing.
Special crumb horn case, yes.
Well, this is the Barokan Consort here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. They are Mike McNeil on the multiple recorders here. Sue Ann Guess Hansen also has a bunch of recorders around her. Julie Prandi has several. And are you going to sing at some point here?
Yes.
And Chris Callahan, fiddle or violin. I guess I'm used to actually having a fiddle on this show. And then also recorders. And Beasley LeFou also recorders and percussion. There was a percussion sound at the end of that last one that took me by surprise. What did you hit?
Actually, I may have hit my music stand. I'm not sure. But the piece that we were going to play percussion on actually was this first piece that we just did. But we unfortunately didn't have enough players to have all of us play in percussion, too. So I wound up playing the crumb horn.
So that was an accidental percussion thing.
Must have been.
It was exactly in time.
It was on purpose, yeah. Okay. Did it sound good? It was on purpose.
It sounded on time in any event.
Well, good.
Well, this and other programs on FM 90.9 are supported in part by the Metropolitan Opera, continuing its series of live opera in high definition at neighborhood theaters. This Saturday, October 10th, the Met presents Puccini's Tosca with conductor James Levine. More information is online at metopera.org. And I will add to that in Champaign-Urbana, anyway, those operas are at the Savoy Theater. Does anybody show them in Bloomington Normal?
Yes.
Yes, Werenberg Theater does.
Yeah, Werenberg does. And sometimes it's that series, and sometimes it's another series.
San Francisco,
yes.
Okay, I'd be interested. I should find out what other communities in our listening area also show the Met operas. It's a wonderful opportunity to see some opera and not have to travel to New York. What did you... Oh, no, we need to explain this Baroque and consort. So you spell it like Baroque apostrophe N consort.
Yes.
That is a pun on the concept of a broken consort.
Yes.
But what is a broken consort?
Well, a consort is a group of like instruments. So a string quartet would be a consort. The next piece we're going to play for bass, tenor, and alto... A recorder is a consort, so like instruments. We have, from the beginning almost, we do play some things all on recorders, but from the beginning we've invited almost anyone to come, and what all have we had? I think we're going to represent ourselves pretty well Friday night. So bassoons, and most of these people also play recorders, so we could have a recorder consort today with all five of us playing recorders. But... And it's also a pun on the fact that we tend to like the Baroque period best, although I think we're only going to play one Baroque piece today, I think. But so it's broken consort, but Baroque in consort also.
But the broken part is when you don't have like instruments.
Yes, that's
so
when
it's
broken.
So if you put strings with the recorders, that makes it broken.
Or a voice with the recorders, or anything that is unlike the other instruments makes it a broken consort.
So that's as opposed to a consort that just doesn't work.
Well, that too. Yeah. So hopefully that'll work.
Well, we're going to find out. So looks like, okay, I see just three people with instruments in your hand for this next one.
Yes.
Is anybody going to sneak anything else in there?
No, we're going to just do with those three. And this is a piece that Sue Ann wrote in 1976. It's called Sympathetic Introspection. Sue Ann's quite the composer. She's won contests. We're going to play another piece today that won a prize in Chicago. But this one is just a trio, Sympathetic Introspection.
Thank you.
Introspection. That was the name of that piece?
Sympathetic.
Sympathetic Introspection by Sue Ann Guest Hansen, who is one of the performers, three members of the group called Baroque and Consort, and the other two also founding members, performing also on recorders, Mike McNeil and Beasley LeFou. Beasley, I assume I'm saying your last name
correctly. Yes, uh-huh. That's good.
I made an assumption from just exchanging emails, and just occurred to me, you know, I better ask just to make sure.
No, that's close enough.
They're all performing Friday night at 7:30 in Bloomington at the Unitarian Universalist Church there, and giving a demonstration, not a demonstration afterwards, but a reception afterwards where you are have your instruments and people can come up and look at them, and I assume, will you let them play them if they want to try them out, if there's young people there, or maybe not?
Probably not. Maybe I have some plastic recorders that I might bring. Yamaha makes a wonderful student-grade plastic recorder that's only about $5, and they're very, very good. So I would let them do that. But, for example, this set that we're holding up now, these are Renaissance recorders, and this is a matched set. Not only is it it's a consort, but they're all the same brand, made by the same manufacturer at the same time. So this was very – the group bought this with our own money, and then Julie will sing along with us. But this is – this is one of the things we spend our money on when we make monies from weddings and things like that. So
okay, now I'm very curious, and I'm guessing that since you mentioned the cost of, you know, a cheap recorder, other listeners may be too. What would it cost to get a decent recorder of some of these larger varieties, especially?
Well, the large ones get quite expensive. There are plastic Yamahas and Alois, and what's the other plastic brand? There's another brand. But even the plastic large ones are $300 to $400. The most expensive one I have is a wooden alto that was, I think, $700. Mm-hmm. And we play, there's a lot of wonderful Baroque music because the alto preceded the transverse flute. So a lot of the music that we normally think is for a transverse flute is really, a lot of the Bach and almost all of the Vivaldi is for recorders. The Brandenburgs. Those are really recorder parts in the Brandenburgs.
The Brandenburg Concertos of Bach.
Yes. So those are Baroque instruments, and these are Renaissance. These have a little darker sound that's not quite as bright, and they have a lesser range then.
And the transverse flute, for those who haven't heard that term, is essentially the flute as you see
modern
it today.
Day. Modern day.
At least it's held, you know, it's held sideways as we normally see a flute. Mm-hmm. Originally, those were wood.
Yes.
And now they're metal.
These are called Blauki Flauti or Flauto Dulci. Dolce, Flauto Dolce. Blauki Flauti would be wooden flute and sweet flute, Italian and German.
Okay. So the one you're holding, mm-hmm. Mike, it looks like, what does it look like? I don't even know how to describe it.
It looks like an organ pipe with holes in it. They really do. And
A metal organ pipe. A wooden organ pipe.
Yeah, they do the same. They work just exactly like an organ pipe, but instead of being a single pitch, you can control the pitch because there are holes, so you can lengthen or shorten the horn by moving your hands, just like a modern clarinet, flute, or any instrument that you blow into.
It's a beautiful instrument.
Thank you.
This whole set is certainly beautiful to look at. We'll find. We really need a television here. And that's happened a number of times in this show. So maybe that's my lobbying to get this show on the TV. It's actually, believe it or not, it's under discussion somehow or another. You mentioned the holes that you play with. I'm looking at Sue Ann's poor right-hand fingers are in a cast of some kind. I won't ask what you did, but how are you how do you compensate without a couple of fingers?
Well, I'm able to kind of alter some of them, and I'm not able to play the bass or the tenor recorder right now. But hopefully the cast comes off tomorrow,
we'll be ready for the concert. That would be very fortunate. We're talking with members of do you say the Baroque and Consort or just Baroque and Consort?
Either way.
Consort.
Yeah. Consort.
They're giving a concert with seven other of their members Friday night at Unitarian Universalist Church in in Bloomington. I get my location straight here. We are sitting in the WILO studios in Urbana. I'm Kevin Kelly, and the show is live and local. I might as well mention on tomorrow's show, we're probably going to have a couple of guests, but the one I know for certain is a woman who comes from Cleveland, works at one of the cancer centers there. She is a music therapist. Name is Dr. DeForia Lane. and is giving a program at Illinois State University in Normal on Saturday that is called A Night of Music Therapy, which ought to be an interesting program. So we'll talk with her and see what that is all about. Music therapy is something I've wondered about and have known various music therapists, but I've never seen what people actually do therapeutically with music, so we'll find out a little bit about that.
Illinois State has quite a department for that.
Do they?
Yes. On a different but kind of related topic, on the concert tomorrow night, the Unitarian Choir will also be doing two pieces with us to end the concert, and that's the Bruckner Ave Maria, which is really gorgeous, and In These Delightful Pleasant Groves, that wonderful madrigal. We'll have Krumhorns, recorders. In fact, we have a recording that is a recorder that'll play that is just barely, not even quite 6 inches long, called a Garkline. We didn't want to bring it here because the dogs in town would be leaving.
No kidding. Yeah. I might have to run out the studio myself.
But they'll be doing those two pieces with us, and we've done recorders sound marvelous with voices. We've done that in the past with other vocal groups.
And just to clarify, that's Friday night.
Yes, you Friday said, night.
You,
I'm sorry.
You said tomorrow night. Yeah. I'm always doing stuff like that. So, well, let's hear this matched set of recorders on Live and Local. This is Baroque in Concert. What's the piece you're going to play first and sing?
This is Rejoice in the Lord, and this is also by Sue Ann. Can we play our last note, please? Okay. I think you can hear the difference. The sound is darker, not quite as bright as the Baroque instruments.
Once more?
Rejoice in the Lord.
By?
Sue Ann Guest Hansen.
Oh, how about that? Which you probably mentioned already, but that leads me to a question I meant to ask earlier when you played another of her pieces. The group, as you said, likes Baroque music perhaps best, but also plays Renaissance music, music before that time too, and music that is currently written, but clearly written in an older style.
Yes.
Sue Ann, is that what you have
in
mind?
Right. Mm-hmm. And then some other things aren't quite. It kind of varies depending on it. But it's really nice to have a group that will actually play some of the things I write. They wonder about it sometimes. And are you sure this is what we're really supposed to do? But it's fun.
So since there are so many pieces, it seems like, that are from the time, you know, Baroque and earlier, what compels you to write something new in a similar style?
The sound of the instruments is just something very special. And you don't get it with like a string quartet or a woodwind group. So I think that's why I really enjoy the sound of the recorders.
And you've been doing that for how long, the writing?
Well, this is, that other one was from 1976, so I didn't do a whole lot. But,
so just a while.
Doing more, yeah.
Yeah. When you're trying to, I'm trying to formulate my question here. Before we actually came into the studio, you said that some of the people playing on the concert are younger. I don't know what younger means, relatively speaking. But is this kind of music and are these kinds of instruments of interest to young people?
Some children. My grandchildren played recorders in the fifth grade as a prelude to playing a modern instrument. A lot of schools, have almost all of the fifth graders, sometimes even the fourth graders. They're very easy to play, especially the soprano, and little kids take to them quickly. So the soprano recorder is, and then it's quite often called the flutophone, and that's slightly different but similar. And then in England, well, the opera you talked about was for children, the Benjamin Britten Nuys Flute. And in England, there would be children playing all of those recorder parts. You would have 50 sopranos when they produced that in England, all children, and then one alto, and that would be the professional player that played the alto line. So there are a lot of kids that do, but a lot of kids kind of throw them aside then when they get a modern instrument. But some of the rock groups, from time to time, you'll hear a recorder playing, and then the Christmas Mannheim Steamroller, they have a lot of real recorders, not electronic ones, in their arrangements.
Can you think of any of the rock groups that do that?
I'm not a rock fan, but I've heard Sting's had on occasion. They've been with Sting and I don't know who else.
Didn't the Beatles have a...
They may have.
A piece or two.
Yeah,
that you
they
could
may
hear.
Actually, they were more experimental than a lot of other groups.
Yeah, I think so, actually. I'm in an interesting group that calls itself, rather pretentious sounding, the Audiophile Music Society of Champaign County.
Wow.
Which
that's
is just
impressive.
Seven guys who get together once a month at our homes and listen to music. But a lot of these guys are really very knowledgeable about particularly rock history and recorded history. And we just, our last session was exclusively on Beatles recordings. Mm. And one of the pieces that we listened to, we were sort of talking, now, what is that instrument that's in there? And finally decided it was, in fact, a couple of recorders at least.
Uh-huh. I don't remember which program it was on, but it was one of your programs yesterday was a string quartet playing some very modern, and I don't remember which rock group, but I instantly recognized it. And it was a marvelous arrangement of a rock classic by a string quartet. I have a terrible memory for that kind of stuff, but
I can tell you it was not my show.
No, it wasn't.
That I do know. Yeah. I couldn't tell you who was on my show yesterday, but I can tell you
it was not that. Yeah.
That wasn't on the show. Well, on the show today, which is shows live and local, I'm Kevin Kelly, is Baroque and Consort giving a concert in Bloomington Friday night at 7:30 at the Unitarian Universalist Church. I got it out right this time, I think. And five of their members here. With us, Mike McNeil, Sue Ann Guess Hansen, Julie Prandy, Chris Callahan, and Beasley LeFou. I see all five of you with instruments in hand. Now, this is a Baroque consort.
Yes.
Because I see a fiddle and the rest are recorders.
And this will be a Baroque piece that we're going to do next.
So it really is a Baroque consort.
Yeah, it goes both ways with a pun, either way.
What's the tune?
It is it's the first movement from a symphony by William Boyce. And... this one, we're missing one part today, and it's hilarious because our guitar player never fails to mention that the guitar is optional. So it says right on the music, guitar optional. So he doubles the same line I'm playing, the bass line, but it adds a different timbre and a really nice sound. It's almost a harpsichord-like sound with this particular piece. So we're going to play it without him today. It'll be better Friday night with him. So,
okay, let's hear it.
Thank you.
Baroque and Concert performing here, and you, Mike, you mentioned earlier lacking memory, and I don't have any for more than 2 minutes. What was the name of that piece again?
It was a symphony by William Boyce.
William Boyce, right.
Yes.
Now, a movement from a symphony.
Movement
that wasn't
from a symphony.
The
first
whole
movement.
Symphony.
Yeah, just very, the first movement.
And very short symphonies that yeah. Boyce tended to write. Does the group have a leader, or how do you direct yourselves?
We kind of pass it around. It's the reason we hired a coach before this concert, and we've hired her in the past, was to help bring us together. It's very different. We have a lot of strong personalities here, and in a group like this where there's one person on a line, most often you have to really listen to hear where everything's going. When you're playing in a band, if you get a little lost, you can listen to what's going on next to you and find your way back in sometimes. And anyway, so it's difficult. You know, people like Pinchas Zukerman and those, you know, quality guys can stand and direct and play at the same time. But it's very difficult to do that, and it's also, it's just difficult. So a lot of times I'll start us, but we tend to, whomever is as the moving line or the introduction or the retard or whatever's going on, tends to be the leader for that section. So we're leaderless most of the time.
But you obviously try to listen and listen and follow and all the stuff that ensembles are supposed to do.
Yes.
Baroque and Concert here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm going to take a break for the conversation from the conversation and do our daily calendar of look at the next tonight and the next few days. Lots going on, particularly in theater, as is always the case. But here we go. The Virsky Ukrainian National Dance Company is going to be at Sangamon Auditorium in Springfield tonight at 7:30. That's at the University of Illinois, Springfield. At the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign, the Symphonic Band 2 and Concert Band 1 are performing tonight at 7:30 at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts. Tomorrow, a couple of free noontime programs. One of them is Granny's Porch with the Schwartz Family Band at the Mills Breast Cancer Institute. That's at noon tomorrow. The institute located on the Carl Clinic campus on University Avenue in Urbana. And the other freebie is the Hickey Jazz Combo, one of the combos from the University of Illinois Jazz Program, led by Joan Hickey. And that is going to be at the Beckman Institute Atrium on the U of I campus in Urbana. And both of those at noon tomorrow. Actually, the jazz combo at Beckman is at 12:15, and they're both free. My Name is Rachel Corey, I believe, is a one-woman show at Station Theater in Urbana. That's running Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 8 o'clock and continues beyond that as well. Celtic Woman is at Sangamon Auditorium in Springfield tomorrow night at 7:30. We had one of their members on this show yesterday. Lend Me a Tenor continues at Parkland College Theater in Champaign, Thursday, Friday, Saturday at 7:30. Illinois Wesleyan University faculty members Keith Zimmerman on saxophone and William West on piano are performing a recital tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock at Westbrook Auditorium in Presser Hall in Bloomington. And the University of Illinois Department of Theater is presenting Sam Shepard's Buried Child. Performances tomorrow, Friday, and Saturday at 7:30, and I think those continue next week as well. We'll be having a conversation about that on one of the days coming up on this show. That's at the Krannert Center in Urbana. And Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, the musical, is being put on by Je Demi Productions in Decatur at the Decatur Civic Center Friday and Saturday at 7:30. And there's more. But that ought to do for now. Lots of things always going on in our listening area, and we encourage you to let us know about events and ensembles that you know about or might be involved in. You can do that by writing to us at willcalendar@illinois.edu. That's W-I-L-L calendar@illinois.edu. And if you think one of your members or you know of somebody who might be a good conversationalist on the show, by all means, let me know that as well. Our program today is made possible with support from Parkland Art Gallery at Parkland College, seeking to expand appreciation of various art forms, promote the development of artists' talent, and encourage aesthetic awareness. The gallery's exhibitions and educational programs are offered free of charge to the public. This is Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. We're with five members of Baroque and Consort from Bloomington on the show today, live in our studio. I noticed that, Chris, you've got the violin here. It doesn't look like you're making any attempt, unless I'm wrong and not paying attention, to play, you know, quote-unquote, authentic style. Or are you? It's
major,
a different-looking bow.
That's right. Yes. It's an 18th-century style bow, which puts the tone of the violin more in line with the recorders. It's a little quieter. It's very light. And so it's, in fact, the bow in the 18th century was described as playing like a singer's breath. So it's, you tend to start up bow rather than down bow, and quiet attacks.
Some people will play with the bow, with a Baroque bow, farther up on the bow, you know, their hand well up on the wood.
Depends on how heavy the bow is, actually.
Okay.
And so when you find that, in fiddling in the Appalachians and in the Celtic tradition too, which I also play in, people tend to look for, by choking up on the bow, you're looking for the balance point, which is more like the Baroque instrument or the Baroque accessory.
And vibrato, you were using a fair amount. Well, that's okay. It's okay. I'm just trying to observe here and see what I can see with the music stand somewhat obscuring my sight here to tell what's going on.
I have played a lot of Renaissance music in groups, and there, I feel more pushed to tone down the vibrato. But since that's the voice is the only Baroque thing we're doing, we're moving into a modern piece again by Suan, and I think there are lots of echoes of Benjamin Britten in this piece. I think Suan, and so vibrato seems more appropriate.
So in other words, you're going to indulge yourself.
That's right.
Chris is being
fair
modest,
warning.
Too. He's just an awfully good ensemble player. He just fits in. It's difficult to play. You can cover up the recorder sound quite easily, and we're really lucky. Our cellist has that same feel, and the bassoon player that plays with us does also. They really fit into the ensemble well. But Chris does a really nice job, and it's such a joy to have the different sound.
So we have next another Broken Consort, composition by Suan. And the name of this is?
This one is from Second City Cycles, talking about Chicago. And we're doing the first movement, which is Winter, Wabash Avenue Winds. And
okay.
The first time we played this summer, we had Chris playing the alto part on the violin. And Beasley says, well, it sounds like you wrote it for violin. So we hope it sounds
so that. So there you go. Broken Consort here on Live and Local.
Thank you.
piece from a cycle called Second City Cycles by Sue Ann Guess Hansen. And that was the winter one, right? Wabash Avenue Winds. I'm actually looking at a copy of their program for concert this Friday. This is the group called Barokan Consort, and they're giving their 20th anniversary concert Friday night at Unitarian Universalist Church of Bloomington Normal, which is located in Bloomington, I gather, Friday night at 7:30. And that was a composition by one of their founding members, Sue Ann Guess Hansen, and also performing on recorders were Beastly Little Few and Mike McNeil, and then performing on violin, Chris Callahan. Performing unseen as or unheard as conductor was Julie Prandi. Why did you need a conductor for that one? Just because of the different tempo changes?
It has a lot of tempo changes. Sue Ann writes very complex music, and she writes difficult lines. She's a little like Bach, and she never gives you any place to breathe. So sometimes you've got to take a breath, and it's really wonderful to have someone directing.
So you didn't learn anything from Bach, you know, as a recorder player, to give players breathing room? Or you just thought you'd be like Bach and give them what they got from him? Well, there's a lot of pieces on the program. What is this Fenland Suite by Colin Hand? Are we going to hear anything from that?
Yes, yeah. We are. In fact, that's the one we will end with today. It's a wonderful piece. It is in five movements. Mm-hmm. Yeah, five movements. We're going to play three of them today. He's a contemporary composer. Some of his music is very Bach-like, and some of it's quite Irish. This particular piece is just moody, I think. It evokes some really nice moods. It's and when we play it in our group, we double some of the lines, so it has a lush, more lush sound on some of them. This horn that I'm going to play this time plays down an octave, and then we have somebody else playing on that line as it's heard, but this plays at an octave lower, so it gives it a more full, lush sound.
Well, I think we've made it through your menagerie of recorders there, Mike, haven't we?
Played them all. Yeah, these are all basses. Everything that I have today except for this one. This is a tenor, and I'll play this on another piece. But, yeah.
And the one you're now holding is the one I was hoping we would get to. Is that, what do you call that? It looks like it's actually probably longer than a bassoon.
About the same size as a bassoon. It doesn't double back like a bassoon does, and it has a bocal, which looks like a pepper mill. We always tell little kids that it's a pepper mill.
Yeah, it does actually, a very tall pepper mill.
It's kind of nice, really dark wood with a crank on the side, but it begins to have, as do the basses, the helper keys that you see that Bem invented for the clarinet to extend the range. Our fingers aren't wide enough. And then there are two larger than this one, and I've played one at the University of Indiana. I had to stand on a stool. It was so tall.
No kidding. So. Well, this one does have an end pin on it, so
yes.
It has to rest on the floor on the pin.
Yeah.
It would probably be a little cumbersome to hold the thing up.
It'll hold, but it's very heavy.
Yeah, well, you'd have to work out and all that to do that. Okay, so we've got all five of you back in action here, four recorders and fiddle. So this is a broken concert, and this is the music by Colin Hand?
Yes, we're going to play the second movement first, and that's the Andante con moto.
And this is from the Fenland Suite, written in 1973 here on Live and Local.
Thank you.
another quick piece that's also slow, an andante sostenuto rubato. We'll start that one again.
Four.
One, two, three, four, go.
Two movements from a piece by Colin Hand from the Fenland Suite that will be part of the 20th anniversary concert of Barocan Consort, an ensemble in Bloomington and Bloomington Normal, performing Friday night at the Unitarian Universalist Church in Bloomington. Concert starts at 7:30, and we've had five of their members here on Live and Local with us today. Mike McNeil on recorders, Sue Ann Guess Hansen recorders, and the composer, Julie Prandy, recorders and voice on one number, and conductor on another. Chris Callahan, violin and recorders. Ann Beasley, a few recorders, and we did not hear him play percussion except on purpose in
and
the first
incidental
number.
Percussion, yes.
Incidental percussion. And we're delighted to have you all join us in the show today, and I hope you have a good crowd for your concert on Friday.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for making the trip and bringing all these wonderful-looking instruments. And I wish we had the TV. Just imagine all this wonderful wood around, and you have not the slightest idea what they look like. This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. News headlines and weather coming up shortly.